will cover the land. The choshech kaful makupal. It's a deep, deep darkness. Begeta asta haste. It's a hiddenness with inner hiddenness. Hashem says asti haste. It's a double lotion of hester. Mekikus aleinu tzoros rabois v'yisurim gedolim and nimtzayim bezman shel kardusa de tzafra. Tzoros upon tzoros, darkness upon darkness, yisurim upon yisurim. We're in that place called the darkness before the dawn. He actually has a book called Darkness Before the Dawn. Rabbi Tetz has got a book that's called The Dawn That Ends the Darkness or something. Mashu kazeh. Oh, no, Mashu. You don't have to take it out yet. That's part of the darkness. You want to put it away? Good. Our pot. Good man. Beregoyim achrein lifnei she'ashochem apsia. The moments before the light starts to shine, a choshech mitchazek, it gets very dark. You've been around for sunrise? Oh, so you know what I'm talking about. The kol toikva zois v'oidu tzemes achoshech godlu mitametzes l'neicha chauvde she'ineinu musigolim nagia es nafshenu. The darkness is getting stronger and bigger, and as a result of that, we're not able to, and now you translate this, l'hargies nafshenu, calm our nerves, calm our souls. U'l'chazeket libeinu ha'do'ayiv be'emunah betokhen in Hashem. We're unable to mechazek our deep emunah and betokhen in Hashem because of all the confusion and darkness. B'dayish avreudim amnam sovlu ma'hast ponim begashmes. Previous generation Jews had a terrible suffering for Hasta Ponim Begashmias. They lived with extreme poverty. Even though they had very hard times and they went through terrible sevel, they understood clearly that this was Hashem. The same way that a father chastises his son, this is Hashem chastising us. People lived with Hashem real. I have no better word to use. Real. You see this table? It's here. When you sat on that chair, why weren't you nervous that you were going to hit the floor? There's a chair there. Oh! So you had betochen in the chair. It was real. We don't live with Hashem anymore like that. We have sveikas and we're worried and we're nervous. And then little words say, yeah, but Hashem's azor and everything. There's confusion. The previous generations knew you had a problem, you went into shul, you opened up the Aruch Kodesh and you screamed to Hashem. Simple. The person wanted to be an Apikoros in those days, he had to leave town. He couldn't carry on living in the Jewish, he used to live on the outskirts. He was the mummer, the disgusting creature that lived on the outskirts of town. The Christians hated him, the Jews hated him. You want it? There was no. He didn't live like he did. The first thing he had a problem, Hashem. Everyone understood according to his dagi or tia pachot that whatever's happening is coming from Hashem. There's a guiding hand here. They lived with imuna pshuta. These weren't the greatest intellectual giants. Bobbers and Safters and whatever weren't the greatest intellectual geniuses, whatever, but they lived with Hashem Kipshuto. Hayeludim Yusurim Kashim, they're terrible suffering. Ulam Aimuna Hatmimo, Vapshuta Shekolma de Ovid Rahman on the top of it, Aisinatur Belimim was Gufa Bedomo. That Musak of Kol Man de Ovid Rahman on the top of it, whatever Hashem does is for the good, and since Hashem is doing everything, everything's for the good, lived with him, they lived with it. This suffering, that suffering, yes suffering, no suffering. Well, they knew that there was someone they could be relying on. They knew there was a Kosh Boch in the picture. Roiv Ruba de Klal Yisrael weren't kaifim. Roiv Ruba de Klal Yisrael until which world over Shemitah and Mitzvahs, on whatever degree. Not even it was a tzaddik. Aval kaifrim, there weren't too many. Eina dvarim amurim rak biyachas li yisurim shal oisim doiris. Hakesha hachayim boi roila ma yinatu belimam kulo. Yediyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu yediyah hatsir hamerkazi sisim yindhalu kolo chayim. The knowledge of Hashem was with the center core of their lives. They conducted their lives around the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at the center of the universe. Umisham yotzu amaisim ha'vahatulois v'shem heim shovu. And that's where they went out and did what they had to do. They conducted themselves in the world against the backdrop of is Hashem is the center of the universe. We're talking about in the Golos. I'm not talking about the period of Nevuah. I'm talking about in the Golos. We're trying to understand where in the Golos. The focus here is not so much where did we change from having Nevuah and open miracles and clear, you know, revelations of Hashem to Golos. Yeah, we're talking in the Golos since First World War. I'm using it just as a, once again, as a rough cutoff point. In the Golos, something's changed radically. As we're stepping in already to this new world called Mashiach. That's where we're focusing. I'm just geographically trying to get to you. Focus where we are. We're not in the interface from Nevuah to Golos. We're in the period of within the Golos. There's a new dimension of the Golos. That's what we need to understand.
So Golos, that means the Jewish, that was the first period where the Goyim accept. That was possible to live with Goyim. Before that was...
In places where today?
No, at the time, just after the first World War.
The period, that's where it changed. That's where we'll see. Yes.
Before, the Jewish people once, there were no choice.
We're as free as Adam HaRishon was today. Do whatever you want.
Yes.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we're going to go into detail about exactly how this generation looked very different to the pre-war generation. I've been asked that question before and I've answered it many times. It's usually Tavshin Samak Dalet. When I'm eyeing. We're in Ein Ches at the moment. So it's 14 years ago.
14 years ago, there.
2003, 2004, Moshe. You'll find that Sforim that are written like this are generally timeless because they're describing principles, and the principles are eternal. The application and the details change, but the principles are eternal. You just have to know how to apply them. That's all.
Well, the Rav says this is eternal.
Yeah.
It's eternal.
Now you just have to see where it fits into different situations. And the situations change. The Torah is very able to deal with them because the principles are the same.
He gives his personal experience. That means it's more during his life.
It's coming from his perspective, sure. Yes. Everybody comes from their own perspective, of course.
Like tomorrow as well, like all the cases of an ox and a shoe and this and that today, it's still very relevant.
The cases are... Okay, that's another discussion. You're right. I'm going to get stuck on a long discussion why that's a pre-op. That's one of the things we need. When you're learning Gemara, you're not looking for the cases. You're trying to understand the underlying principles. What are the halachic dinim of a microwave oven? I don't see the Torah discussing microwave ovens anywhere. And yet, there's halachic psakim and there's a whole safe on Hilchos microwave ovens. How do you do that? Because you understand the underlying principles, you understand how microwave oven works. And now you put the two together, you come up with halachically correct psakim. That's the koyach of Torah Shabbal Peh, of course. Anyone who has a sensitive heart. Anybody here without a sensitive heart? Everybody's got a sensitive heart. I know you all. We're all a little bit ragish. Chash, kiani shreim behester batoy hester. We recognize we're living in very complex times, difficult, dark times. So Hester Pnim Haruchani. At a deep spiritual level, that's where this Hester is. Mitrachshim leneged einenu dvorim noirim v'atzum. We see in front of our eyes awesomely difficult things. Ulomarot akol libeinu nois atum leitim krevus einenu zoichim kiboy ro'ilam hu zeh shemelat ro'ilam. Our hearts are completely locked up and closed, and we forget regularly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's running the world. V'kol bo miyodo, and everything comes from him. Min ha-roi la-havir, pa'amim rabot, ein lanu kushrei talboi roi lo. It's very important to clarify here, we don't have kashas on Hashem. Poshut anu klal lo zochrim shu kayem. Sometimes we just forget that he runs the world. Shuvayim is also oisil yasa kol ha-masim. Every morning a Jew says, ani ma'amim be'emun ha-shleim ha-shepo, boi ribos, boi ribmanik, l'kol ha-vrim, hu levodo, also oisil yasa kol ha-masim. And you walk outside and you trip over whatever and you scream at the cat. You just said that there is no cat. We forget. We should forget. Person comes back from davening on Sukkot, Shabbos, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. And they lay in Koheles. Correct. And in Koheles it says, Lo lama here, marot, not to the first man is the race, and not to the wise man is panosa. Gives a whole lot of things that don't think. It's all from. Don't think because the guy's clever, he's making bucks. You just read that in Kohelet, right? You come home and you're making kiddush, someone's turn around and say, oh, you heard about Yankel? He just made a fortune of money, whatever. And someone says, oh, you know, that guy's a real, he's got a good head. He's a real, that guy's, he understands business well. So 1 second, sorry, can I just interrupt you 1 second? We just learned in Koheles, the state. So the guy says, no, I'm talking about Derech HaTeva. Yeah, you just forgot about the Borei Olam. Yeah, I believe in Hashem and everything's fine, aval, I'm going to speak in Derech HaTeva. Hashem runs the world. This guy didn't become wealthy because he's a good head or because he's clever or because he knows business and he understands. Because of course, Baruch gave him the money. We're going to forget about that and we're going to carry on having a conversation based on what? Derech HaTeva. The Buddha says once, well, Desler once said that that's like saying, let's conversation, but let's use Loshana Meshugoyim. Let's talk like Meshugoyim. Let's have a conversation. We'll talk like 3-year-olds. Why would you want to do that? But we all like that. Catch myself doing it all the time. You forget sometimes. You're not kaifrim. You forget. Ein kama naseinu chalila latil mum bekotchim v'nei Yisrael im kreve shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not coming here to chas v'chalila cast dispersions on the holy people of Kodesh on the relationship with Hashem. Vada shekol echad ma'amin ki boi ro'olam osu oisiv yaseh kol ha'masim. Everybody here believes, we all believe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein oid milvadoi. Ulam emuna zu einu chai b'libeinu b'tivis u'b'pashtus kamo sh'li ha'isa chai b'doris ha'koyim. We don't live with it with five-finger clarity. We don't live with it real. Poshut. We live with Hashem. Poshut, real. We believe it intellectually. Aval ze lo bifnim. V'zeu hester b'toich hester shanu chayim bo. We're living with this terrible hester. What's our job? Our job is to megala Hashem in the hester. It's not to say, well, hester, and carry on with your life. You're supposed to go find him in that darkness. That's a good Tisha B'Av, by the way. Ach mitzad sheini b'dorim kayemes yichudiyot nosefes. In our generation, there's other unique aspects. You mentioned some of them already. Kvar tamiyi v'zoreach aleinu oreshul Mashiach. As we mentioned earlier, we already have some of the light of Mashiach shining into this world. The Baal Teshuva movement has a lot to do with that, by the way. If you want to see one application of the fact that the light of Mashiach is really starting to shine into the world, is many people woke up one day who were as far away from Yiddishkeit as you can get and suddenly started getting up wake-up calls and started becoming frum. Everyone's got his story and everyone's heard stories, but everybody knows there was like a little something kind of started waking you up. That a year before or 6 months before, you wouldn't in a million years Anybody suggests that you would become Fuma, you or whatever, you told him you're nuts. I'm not talking about 20 years before, I'm talking about 6 months before. I know somebody who was living in Memte Shari Tuma. Memte Shari Tuma Kapshuta. You don't get lower than the music world in Hollywood in America. That's about as low as you get, yeah? And if you're involved in a big band, one of those big, big, multi-trillion dollar bands, you're mamash in Memte Shari Tuma. You don't get lower than that, okay? And he woke up one morning in the middle of that sewer and started thinking about keeping Shabbos. Eventually decided he's going to keep Shabbos. He can't do that in Hollywood. He has to come to Israel. Land up on some from there. Today's kosher of walking around. There's a young man that lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh. He told me the vows for a while. Who was a rock star in South Africa, and he was on his way on a world tour. They signed a contract on a world tour. They already made a disc. They already was like, this is your last dream. And he cancelled the trip. He didn't go on the trip. The Rav Dinei Shatora, when I was there, the Rav Dinei Shatora told me, what changed? What happened? Something started stirring. And you tell me, wow, this guy's amazing. Look at that. He was in Memte Shari Tuma and he started searching. No, just the light. Ramosha said, don't think that's because of the Kiruv professionals. That's because the light of Mashiach is already here. It's already. Eliyahu Novi is going around and tapping people on the shoulder. Look at your own return to Yiddishkeit. You see, there were things there that don't make too much sense. Why did you go to the Shia? No, just because the Shia inspired me, whatever. Why did you go to the Shia? What were you doing at the Shia? Some guys have got less, you know, dramatic stories, whatever. You know, they always had this feeling, they always knew, whatever, but they put, everyone's got his own story. Well, you go through the stories, you'll see this. Why does it happen the other way? Good question. We're going to deal with it as well. We're going to deal with that as well.
What do you mean?
People going off the derech. Yeah. How is it that the same system that's bringing people out of Memte Shari Tuma and bringing them to Yiddishkeit is driving people away from Yiddishkeit to the drive? Yeah. I think there's a fault in the question, but okay, we have to discuss that. We'll get there. That's a lot of what the Sefer is coming to address. There's a lot of what the Sefer is coming to address. It's very hard to sell Yiddishkeit to kids today if you don't have it yourself. If you're not vibrant and the simcha and activated in your Yiddishkeit, why would someone want to follow you? One kid once said to me, he said, why would I want to go after somebody who's miserable? Why would I want to follow somebody who's miserable? Normally kids look up to people that there's something to admire in them. But if this guy's walking around and his Yiddishkeit's heavy and shwer and da 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 da. Ramosha told the story, there were two families, I can end with this. There were two families in America that were both incredibly moisa nefesh for Shabbos. You know, keeping Shabbos in America wasn't so simple after the war. You literally didn't have panosa. There was no Varat Stocker and Tzitzkus Rochel and, Gemachim. And if you didn't have a panosa, you didn't have money. You didn't have food. But it was literally a pekuch nefesh. And they were yidden that, you know, they went to work on Monday and they got fired on Friday. Don't come back, and there were sometimes weeks without food, whatever. There were two families. The one family, the kids all grew up beautifully. Talmidei Chachamim went to yeshivas. And the next door family, the neighbors next door, all the kids went off the derech. Every single one of them. So someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein this question. Ech yitochen? They were both so moisa nefesh for Shabbos. They were both. If one kid went off the derech there and the others in one year, we said, you know. But all of them were good and all of them were not good. So Moshe said, when the one father used to come home after being fired on Friday, they used to sit on the Shabbos table. Yeah, he used to go, Shmach. Today I was able to mamash be'ovid Hashem, and I got fired, and I know it's hard, kids, but it's gewaldic. And they used to take the little petex, you know, the little petex to get his fire note, and they used to decorate the sukkah with it. That was the kitchen of the sukkah, is my masiris nefesh for Shabbos. Our masiris nefesh for Shabbos. In the next door house, the father used to come home, zu brochen, broken, shattered human being. It's hard to be a Jew. Oh, it's hard to be a Jew. The kids heard it's hard to be a Jew, which American kid wants hard. If it's hard to be a Jew, I'll go where it's easy. And they're all bolted. A very profound chinuch lesson in that. Even if you have to pretend, sometimes you come home, to sein schwer, to sein lieb. You come home, you've had a rough day, somebody just cheated you, whatever, you come home, you have to act. To pretend sometimes. Not always. Sometimes it's okay if the kids see that things are hard. And they see you mitmodeding and understanding it's from Hashem. And that, but if you're not living with Hashem, you're not thinking every time something goes wrong in the house, you have a tantrum and you freak out. So where did the kids see? Wow, I'd like to be like that. And they're related to the Yiddishkeit. My kesha, the dad gets upset very easily, so why should I keep Shabbos? What's the kesha? They make the kesha. We're going to speak about it at length. I'm not saying that's what kids go off the derech, by the way. But if we want to make correct ishtadlers, we need to somehow instill in ourselves a real deep relationship with Hashem that would enable us to live with Yeshua Das and Luchas and Efesh and simply Zachayim. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We're going to discuss it at length. Tacha shel evodetis Hashem elokecha besimcha v'tuv leivov. We're going to serve Hashem besimcha. That's why the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. There must be something in that.
Is there a reason behind it?
Yes.
There is?
There's a difference in the generation of the time when the Yidden came to America to today. I mean, today.
That's what we're discussing. That's exactly
hitting,
what we're discussing.
It's hitting from, you know, really from families. Yeah, the way yeah, the children
yeah,
go.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't think there's one reason why kids go off the derech. It's multifaceted reasons. In each home you'll have to find what the reason there was. Or maybe, that's what this kid's derech in life is. Is to come back. I once said this to Rav Tauber many years ago when I was just starting to get into his Torah. I'm talking over 20 years ago. I once said to him, I said, it could be lechatchila for a kid to go off the derech. If the mahus of this generation is Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is somebody who has a start with no beginning. It was in order for me to be a beginning, there can't be something before me, right? The definition of a beginning is there's nothing before. That's Lech Lecha. Why did Avraham have to Lech Lecha? Then he'd be Avraham Avinu and still live in Terach's neighborhood, Mabaya. No, Avraham has to become somebody, has to become a Yosem. Yerushalmi says the door of Mashiach is door Yasme de Yasme. Orphans, the children of orphans. There's a new beginning here. There has to be a new beginning. You have to wipe out the old. That was the Holocaust. The Holocaust wiped out the old, and we're now living in a new world with nothing to go back to. We don't have parents. We don't have rabbi. We don't have anything. The Messiah has got completely shattered. So we're the new beginning. So I said it could be the Tzlechatchila that a kid who's not given an opportunity to be an Avram might have to go off the derech in order to come back and be an Avram. It might be Lechatchila. I said this to him. He said 100%. But don't speak about it because people don't understand. You can't say it in public. Now I just said it on tape. It's 30 years later, you can say things like this today. Then you couldn't talk like that. The kids off the derech and the kids at risk was a very adin sensitive subject. Not that it's not today, but today at least it's there's not a house today that isn't suffering from this. The yam shel yiladim. Yam. And the problem today, it's even worse than it was 20 years ago, because today they're off the derech and you wouldn't know. Today they're off the derech legamra and you wouldn't know. Kovar v'chalifa, and in Beis Yaakov, and all, everything. They're living dual lives. They're living double lives. Partial. We're living double lives. I don't mean everybody, but I'm talking for myself. We're living double lives. You get a guy who's frum, whatever, he's a rob, he's this, that, whatever, and his wife knows that he's Machal Shabbos in his computer. Plenty of stories like that today. Bochrim and the best yeshivas or whatever, go find them on that third Seder, go find out where they are and what they're doing. There's a girl in a very choshev of Beis Yaakov told my daughter that she doesn't have friends because she doesn't want to watch movies. And if you don't watch movies, you're not part of the chevra. And this is a full Beis Yaakov. This is like... used to be a time where somebody was living that lifestyle didn't look frum. You could see they were off the derech. They were in jeans and today they must look frum. You don't know who's who today anymore. That's chelek of the darkness. You don't even know who's off the derech anymore. It's a new phenomenon. A kid can be learning two siddurim a day in yeshiva, steiging a welt. And a third seder could be mentish, shari tumah. You wouldn't know. When I was a mashgiach in yeshiva, I could tell in the morning the way the bochrim davened or learned, I could tell where they were the night before. If a bocher started doing things he wasn't supposed to be doing very quickly, you saw it in the learning. Today you can't see that anymore. You can't see it anymore today. There's a bocher that was, he thinks I have Ruach HaKodesh. I woke him up in the morning and when you go to these clubs, they give you a rubber stamp on your hand. So I saw the rubber stamp and I knew where he was the night before. So I said to him, Rock Bar! He was like, how do you know? I said, I got Ruach HaKodesh. He was like, after that, he was the best behaved bocher in the yeshiva. But you could see it straight away. Within 2 or 3 days of a bocher, he wasn't supposed to be doing, you saw the yerid in the learning. They couldn't live dual lives. It wasn't shy. So they had to choose. Like Eliyahu Novi said to the Ovdei Habayit, you've got to choose. You can't dance on tzvei chasanas. You can't be two chasanas at the same time. Today? It's the biggest problem facing Tom Merif, your kids today. You don't know who's who today. And that's an unbelievable phenomenon. It's an unbelievable phenomenon that you can live a double life today and no one will know. It can be in your own home, you wouldn't know.
If you wanted to scare us.
I'm just telling you what anybody knows about. I'm not regarding secrets here. This is everybody knows what I'm telling you. Speak to anyone in Chinuch today, they'll tell you this. You don't know today who's who.
The ones who change their clothes are the ones that actually have enough koyach to say, I'm not living this life alone.
Yeah.
The others just say, I can't.
If you can work a kid through to not live a double life, so now he's got a choice. Does he pack up and leave, or does he go back and become frum? He chooses. But why leave? It's a very geschmacka life. It's very nice being at home, everything's taken care of, yeshiva life is a geschmacka life or whatever, and you have all the schmutz you want
You're
in the
right.
world.
I'm saying the only ones that do so are the ones that internally say, I can't
they
live
start
this life.
They yeah. start breaking down, but most people today don't have that problem. Most right. people can comfortably today live a dual life without too many stirrers. Eventually, hopefully, it will catch up with you. That's what I think Hashem's do. But it's too early in the game to see what's going to be.
You need Eliyahu Hanavi to tell these are the Nevi'i Habal. It wasn't like the regular people.
Nahum,
the Nevi'im the ones where he had to say, you're the ones on Tusha.
The power of the Nevi'i Habal was on a higher level than most of us today. He refused to go. There were twin paros, Nahum. Eliyahu said to the Nevi'i Habal, you choose. And then the Pasuk says, and Eliyahu gave them the power. But he told them to choose. Why did he give them the power? The Midrash says, because the power didn't want to go. Well, I'm going to go. My brother's going for the Shem, and I'm going to go. I don't want anything to do with him. The cow didn't. So what do you want? That's a very interesting phenomenon. Is being able to live a dual life and not get immediately emotionally destroyed by it. Most people eventually, we know that, you start leading a double life, eventually, you know, it pops somewhere. Today?
That could be because the path of Emes, the Frumkai life, isn't really true. It's about a pursuit of truth. It's about just following the Hanagos and the orders.
Just
and
doing the superficial external stuff,
lifestyle.
Which I'm doing very, yeah, but these kids learn with the schmuck. I know them.
So did the Rebbe said this many times. The Ponovich Rob said about the people who are Machal
Shabbos,
learning is a geshmaka thing.
Yeah, but those guys are offered there. They're Machal Shabbos. These kids are Machal Shabbos.
But I'm saying the learning itself is not a riot to anything. Because the person can be Mamash.
No, but there was a time in Yeshiva. There was a time in Yeshiva. There was a bocher who was doing things he shouldn't be doing. Very hard to learn. Very hard to learn. You know, he was lo yachol. Today you can learn the shmak two sedarim a day. The best from yeshiva, and at night he's in Memtish, Shari Tuma. It's a hafla. You want to switch us off, please? My daughter, no, I'm not worried.
They may go somewhere one day. Get all these and put them up somewhere.